Born and Life. There we go. Thank you.
Of course, with my voice, you know, I don't really need it.
Well, we'll deal with that later. Earplugs are available in the lobby if you need them. No, I'm just kidding. So anyways, has the Lord been good to you this week?
Oh, yes.
Excellent. You know, he always is.
That's
no matter
right.
what we go through, he is always good. In fact,
come
so
on.
Let me just ask this. Mm-hmm. How many here have had to go through something difficult or hard this week?
Mm-hmm.
You're in church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. And you know what? That's the thing is whether it's good things you're going through or dark times you're going through, he's still there with
come
you.
Come on. Come
he
on.
He gets you through them.
That's right.
He is constant. He never changes.
Truth. That's the truth.
And God, that's just why we bless your name
yes.
all the time.
Yes.
So we got a few announcements. On your bulletin, I know that it says movie night is next Friday. However, that was actually last Friday. That is my fault. I told Jenny the wrong date, so that's my fault. So I apologize to everyone for that. Clearly, my brain is full, and there's not any room for anything else. Just want to thank Rick. Rick finished the sign.
Woo-hoo!
If you haven't seen it.
Hey, Rick. Woo-hoo.
Good job, Rick.
Yeah, awesome.
He also fixed the entryway.
Yeah.
So thank you. Phil, he patched our parking lot.
Yes, thank you.
And he also put the hay and the grass seed out there.
Yeah. Oh,
nice. So thank you.
Perfect timing.
Perfect timing. After service today is a potluck.
Mm-hmm.
So we got some really good food. So please join us after that. Unfortunately, I won't be joining you. So I know I'm going to be in safety that there won't be any repercussions from the sermon. Yes, but you can't, like, hit me or, you know.
We know where you live.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, but that was just barely.
Hey,
it's a good thing I was sweating and I just escaped right out of your grasp. Just want to clarify, you know, usually the next Saturday after potluck, because potlucks are on the last Sunday of the month, we have our outreach. But there's no outreach this Saturday. It's a week from Saturday. So, again, if you'd like to join us here a week from Saturday to go out and try to share Jesus with people and try to impact lives and make changes, then please join us for that. Also want to give some praise because Larry went in for his EKG,
mm-hmm.
and he used to have a heart murmur. That heart murmur is gone.
Woo!
Yay.
Hallelujah.
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 Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Also, because of the good EKG, he gets to get his new knees.
Woo-hoo! Thank you, Lord.
So you know what that means? He's going to outrun all of us. I call him the bionic man.
Yeah.
So that's the thing is, you know, even that when we're going through difficult times, you know, we can look at what God's doing in other people's lives. Because
yeah.
we should all always be thanking him and
yeah,
blessing
yeah.
him and
yeah, yeah.
for everything he does. We know we're going to go through dark seasons, but we get to see our brothers and sisters mm-hmm. when they go through good seasons, that they get to help us as well through our dark seasons. So this morning, we're going to pray for Hebo Christian Church.
Mm, Pastor Lonnie.
Pastor Lonnie. Who Pastor Lonnie, if you haven't met him, oh, he's a great man.
Yeah.
He is a man of God. So if you join me in prayer really quick, we'll pray for him. So Lord, we just come before you and we lift up our brother, Pastor Lonnie and Crystal and Lord, everybody that's there at Hebo Christian Center. Lord, we thank you for the work that he's doing in that community
yes.
and with everyone there.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you for the blessings that you've given him in his work, as well as mm-hmm. guiding him in his work.
Yes.
And Lord, you are the one that we can trust, the one that we can depend on.
Yes.
You are our solid rock,
yes.
our foundation.
Yes.
Lord, I just ask, we just come before you and humbly ask you to please raise up Pastor Lonnie. Please raise up Crystal. Please raise up the leadership team. Mm-hmm. Lord, just pour your blessings out upon them as well as that congregation there mm-hmm. like a waterfall.
Yeah.
Lord, just let it wash over them. Lord, please anoint them. Mm-hmm. And Lord, I just want to pray for everyone here as well today. And Lord, just ask you to please open our ears, our mm-hmm. hearts, and our minds
yes,
to
Lord.
You.
Yes.
Because our whole purpose here, everything that we are, everything that we do, is for your glory.
Yes.
It
yes.
is for you. And so, Lord, I just want to, we just pray to help us to draw closer to you, to really hear your voice. Lord, we ask you to please fill this place with your Holy Spirit today. Please fill each one of us with your Holy Spirit today, Lord,
yes,
from the bottom of our feet to the top of our head.
Yes.
Lord, just let your light shine through us. And Lord, we give you all the honor, praise, and glory, and our faith and our love. In Jesus' holy name.
Amen.
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 All right, let's stand and do some worship.
Exalted, the King is exalted on high. exalted, our King is exalted on high. You are exalted, our King is exalted on high.
Woo! Amen. Amen. Amen.
Impossible.
that hope is never lost. Oh, for there is still an empty grave.
Come on.
God, we believe no matter what, there is power in your name. So much power in your name. Move the immovable, break the unbreakable. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. From the impossible, we'll see a miracle. All my words fall short.
got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing just one move. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands, praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, my soul, but don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. You've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. You've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the
join together in gratitude for all you've done for us, that all you continue to do for us. Mm-hmm. We can believe all the word you have told us. Mm-hmm. We can believe for it. We can rejoice in it. We can be thankful and glad because you are our God and you've provided for all of our needs, Lord. Whatever our circumstance is today, Lord, you are in our midst. You are near to us. You are holding us. Mm-hmm. And we can believe that and claim it and hang on to that, Lord. So, God, thank you for this opportunity to worship with my brothers and sisters today. And I lift up Matt to you as he delivers this message you've given him. Mm-hmm. And I thank you for this message. I pray that you will give him all that he needs to express your words to us, that we may receive, open our hearts and minds and spirits, receive your message, and do with it as you call us to do all week and all our lives. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
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 So, before we begin, we have a brother who's ailing, and Rick's going to come forward. I'm going to ask you guys, if you feel called, to please come up and pray with me over him for health. And right now, he's getting cancer, radiation for cancer. And so, James said, if any of you are sick, let him call the elders of the church. Let the elders pray over him and anoint him in the name of the Lord for healing. So Rick's going to come forward. He's going to stand here, and we're going to pray over him really quick. I knew I was forgetting something. We're good. We're good. You're good.
Father, we come before you in the name above all names, the name above any type of cancer.
Yes.
Nothing is impossible with you, God, and impossible is nothing. For you are the great I am.
Mm-hmm.
There is none other besides you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we exalt you, and we believe in your holy word. You are not a man that you should lie. Your word is truth.
Yes.
And your word says, by your stripes, Rick is healed.
Amen.
And Father, we stand on that for Rick. We join our faith together, and we stand on your word, which is true.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank
you. Scripture teaches us that you, Lord, and you, Lord Jesus, that your name is above every name. That all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to you. Yes. We know, Lord, that you sit at the right hand of the Father. Lord, we know that demons bow. Lord, we know that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord.
Yes.
And so we just come here today, and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we anoint our brother Rick Dietz. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we take authority over that cancer. And Lord, we command that cancer in the name of Jesus to depart and to go to the feet of Jesus. And we bind it there by the blood of Jesus to never return. And we bar in the name of Jesus any cancer from returning to Nick or to Rick. And Lord, we just ask you, O Holy Father, to please fill Rick with your presence. Lord, fill him with your strength, your endurance. Lord, raise him up. Lord, just heal him completely and fully. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I just want to tell you, I had breast cancer 8 years ago.
Come
never
on.
Again.
Come on. Come on.
By the power of Jesus.
That's right. That's
by stripes, I was healed.
Yes.
The same is true for you, brother.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I couldn't walk for 2 years. Look at me. I'm bouncing on truth.
Mm-hmm. He is the God that healeth thee.
Yes, and I cancel that assignment on your life.
Amen.
It's not
mm-hmm.
Right.
That's not his plan for your life.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Just stay focused on the one that's your healer.
Yeah.
Yes. And all it requires is faith in him. That's all the rest. Yes.
So don't try to figure it out. Just trust him.
Mm-hmm.
He's in charge of the results.
That's right. And all his thoughts for you, Rick, are good.
Amen.
Not for you.
Yes.
It is written.
Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Father, just bless you. Reveal yourself in fullness, showing the great love you have for him and your plan for his life. Let him walk in that, because that's the truth. The other's not. It's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. And you said, Lord Jesus, we're two or more gathered in your name, that you are there amongst them.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that you're here. Lord, we know that you have your hand on Rick right now.
Let me thank you, Cindy, Lord, as you mm-hmm. watch this journey with her husband.
Yes, Lord.
Father, and please pray with your strength and with your faith in the one true living God.
Yes.
Amen.
You are a blessing to him, Cindy.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
What an opportunity to show the love of Christ.
Yeah.
And Lord, we just lift these prayers up to you now. And we just ask you, in the holy name of Jesus, to please wrap both Rick and Cindy in your arms, Lord, and hold them close to you. Lord, we beg you to incline your ears, to heal Rick, to fill him with your strength and your faith. And Lord, we give you all the praise and honor and glory and our faith and our love in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
What an opportunity to reveal Christ, Rick.
Mm-hmm.
Look, what a testimony you're going to have.
All right, everybody. So I've got some good news and some bad news. The bad news is we're going to be taking a look at the law today. And of course, I know there's nothing that excites people more than law and politics, right? Well, the good news is there's no bar exam at the end of today. So, well, there's a food bar. So you'll figure it out. Now, you might be asking, some of you already know, but some of you might be asking, what is the law? It's not Sylvester Stallone in a bad movie saying, I am the law. If you don't know that movie, don't worry. It's fine. It's all good. Don't watch it. Don't even Google it. Just, it never existed. I never said anything, and I was never here. But the law is the Ten Commandments. Now, you know, I'm getting up there in age, and this is going pretty quick. So just asking you for your guys' help. So what are the Ten Commandments? So what's the first commandment? That you shall have no other gods before me. What's the second commandment? Yeah, you shall not make for yourself a god nor bow down to it. What's the third commandment? You shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. What's the fourth commandment? Yes. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. What's the fifth? Yep. Honor mother and father. What's the sixth? Yep. Should not murder. What's the seventh? You guys are being awfully quiet. Of course, I know you already know this. What's the seventh commandment? That's all in the seventh commandment? Wow, that's a pretty big commandment. Yes, you should not commit adultery. What's the eighth? It's not bear false witness. We'll see how much Matt knows here. Okay, what's the ninth? The eighth is not steal. Ninth is should not bear false witness. Yes, tenth is thou shalt not covet anything of your neighbor's. Okay, so The purpose of the law is to tell us what sin is. And the law has been around for a very long time. And the one thing you have to remember is that the law is spiritual. It's not physical. You know, I know this was, like many people, I learned this the hard way, thinking that's physical. Okay, I've never killed anyone. I've never committed adultery. I am righteous and holy. And then you read through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where he says, if you've ever looked at a woman lustfully, you've committed adultery. If you have ever hated your brother without a cause, you've committed murder. And at that point, the Holy Spirit with me, I just kind of went, ooh. Yeah, guilty, guilty, guilty. Wow, I've broken every one. Ooh. So we're not actually going to go through this, all these today. But we are going to look at the fourth commandment today, the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. So how did the Sabbath come about? Well, it came about when God created the world. God saw that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed, all their hosts. By the seventh day, God completed his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. He rested from all his work, which God had created and made. So right then and there, he brings everything into existence. He goes, oh, it's very good. I'm just going to kick back on my lazy boy now. No, God doesn't do that. But he's like, it's a time for rest. And I'm just this day sanctifying it. I'm making it holy. Now, what was, if we look at the Ten Commandments as they were given by Moses to Israel, what does the commandment actually say? It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So note, the commandment is two parts. Remember the Sabbath. So to rest, keep it holy, honor God. Oddly enough, this is the most broken covenant, most broken part of the law in all the Ten Commandments. A lot of people don't keep the Sabbath. And the main reasons are pride, greed, covetousness. If I work, I can make more money. On my day off, I really want to do just what I want to do, and not what you want me to do, God. And we struggle with it. We really do. But it's not just you. It's the animals around you. They're not supposed to be working. Now, another thing to notice, that this is so serious to God that he says, you shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death. Did you know this is the same punishment as adultery? Same thing. If you're caught in adultery, you're done. You'll be stoned, kicked out of the camp, taken out of the camp, killed. It's that simple. That's how important the Sabbath is to God, because when he makes something holy and you're like, I'm sorry, God. Nope. You're basically giving him the middle finger. God does not take that lightly. Now you may say, but Matt, aren't we under a new covenant? Do we really still have to keep the Sabbath? So let's look at what Jesus says. Do not think that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men, so shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. You get that? Not one jot nor tittle of the law will pass away till this world passes away. That's the end of the age. That's when heaven and earth pass away and a new heaven and a new earth come. And God dwells with us. The law is in effect the whole time. And just so you know, jot means a very small part of anything. It means like the tiniest of the heap of letters. So if you're looking at the law, even the tiniest letter will not disappear. Tittle is the apex of a Hebrew letter. So it's like when you're drawing out a letter, it's one little stroke, one part of that letter. So Jesus is saying nothing of the law, not even the tiniest little bit, is going to change till all heaven and earth disappear. So it is still in effect. The new covenant that we're under is a covenant of grace. So we are under grace. We still have the law still here because it teaches us sin. It tells us what sin is. And we break the law, we commit sin. The penalty for sin is death. But under the new covenant, we're under grace. Jesus has already taken the punishment for us. That's the new covenant. So God's not staying there with his finger over the smite button, just waiting. Like, come on, come on, work, work. It's not God. That's not who he is. He's a loving God. You know, he remembers our sins no more. He wipes them away. He looks at his son and his blood on us and goes, what's sin? Well, I don't know. Come on up. So what is the Sabbath? So the word Sabbath comes from the Hebrew Shabbat, which some of you might have heard, which means to cease or desist. And the primary meaning is that of a cessation from all work. It was celebrated every 7 days and became basic to the Jewish people. During biblical times, now, to understand those of you who don't know, the Jewish people are different from us. Our day begins in the morning, theirs begins in the evening. So they would start celebrating Shabbat in the evening. So they would gather with their families together to praise God and to worship him. And they, on the next day, they would gather in the synagogue to praise and worship God. God gave Moses what's called the Mosaic Law. And these are all the things like, if you sin this way, bring a burnt offering. If you sin that way, bring a grain offering. But in these laws, he further explained what the Sabbath was and who it applied to. He even gave it to the land. Every 7 years, the land was to enjoy its rest, its Sabbath, that they were to do no work in it. They were only to eat what grew. Then on the next year, they could go ahead and plow the land again. And when you look at God's command for the Sabbath, it's pretty straightforward, kind of what it means. There might be some confusion because, of course, I am guilty of it, of asking like, so what does this law actually mean and how can I get around it? I will admit my guilt on that one. So what happened was, if you remember, the Hebrews did not obey God, did not keep their Sabbath, worshiped idols, and God kicked them out of their country and spread them out to other nations. And then God returned them. When he returned them, they rebuilt the temple, the second temple. They rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. The problem that happened is the ruling bodies of Jews at this time said, you know what? This probably happened because we weren't keeping the law like we should. So let's sit down and figure out what these laws actually mean. And so they came up with 39 additions just to the Sabbath. And then each of those had even more additions to them. Things like you couldn't even tie a knot. Oh, your shoelace is untied. Can't deal with it. You can only go 3/4 of a mile. But my mom's sick. Sucks to be you. The problem is with any law, you know, even like the law that we have here in the United States and something, really the lawmaker is the only one who can interpret it or add to it or take away from it. And in this case, and it really shows what happened to the Jewish people and why they fell, they weren't asking God. They weren't seeking God for it. They just came up with it for themselves. And it was all became a bit of pride. So that way I can go walk around and say like, Jeannie, you're picking your fingernails. That's work. Stop it. Rena, you're reading. That's work. Stop it. Cheryl, you're writing. Stop it. That's work. It's all to make them feel better. That was the point. And the Jewish people really could not keep these laws. But again, the ruling body had lost touch with God at that point anyways. Not that we'll see here later, the Jewish people really didn't care either. So the other thing you have to understand about Jewish culture is the start of their week is Sunday. The last day of their week is Saturday. So their Sabbath is on Saturdays. And that's what God sanctified and made holy. Now, you might ask, but Matt, isn't Sunday the Lord's day and the Sabbath? And the answer is yes and no. So the no part is that during the time of the early church, they were two separate days. And early Christians would go to both of them. If you remember in scripture, the Christians always went to the synagogues to try to preach Jesus to the Jews on the Sabbath. But they would go into the synagogues on Saturdays or on Sunday mornings, and then they would celebrate what's called the Lord's Day on Sunday. And the reason it's called the Lord's Day, because it's the day that Jesus rose from the dead on Easter morning. And the interesting thing is the two celebrations are completely different. The Sabbath is a time of solemn assembly and solemn praising. The Lord's Day was a joyful day. I mean, there was kind of like our service here. There was worship. There was praying. There was a word from God. There was a lot of things completely different. What happened was that around in 321 AD, Constantine, who was the Roman emperor, changed the day of rest from Saturday to Sunday. Then later on in the 1500s, the early 1500s, the English Puritans began to refer to as Sunday as the Sabbath. Now, the Seventh-day Adventists, they still believe that Saturday is the Sabbath, but this is the most important thing. If you take anything away from this message, this should probably be it. It does not matter what day you pick. As long as you pick a day and rest and keep it holy, that is the most important part. That's all that matters. God's not going to go, well, Phil, you kept Mondays as your Sabbath, so you're not getting in. Sorry. Should have learned. No, it's not that way at all. God, you have to understand this, because it's interesting, some of the things I've heard and people asking questions. God is a just God. And it's the scenarios people come up with boggle my mind sometimes what they ask. It's like, do you not know who God is? You should. You're a preacher. But it's like, no, they come up with these scenarios. It's like, no, God is a just and loving God. He's also sovereign. So he can be like, he can make any decision he wants. You have to understand that. All that matters to God is spirit, and all that matters to God is your heart. Is your heart in it? It's not physical observances. That doesn't matter to him. The only way it matters is if you are acting in faith. and acting in love, because faith without action is dead. It's that simple. So we were talking about Israel and their history a little bit. Now, there's been some comparisons between Israel and Judah when they were destroyed, and what America's going through. Because God doesn't, again, God's a just God. He's just not like, come on, come on, come on. Ah, you broke it, you're dead. He doesn't do that. He's like, no. With Israel and Judah, he's like, come back to me. Please come back. Repent. Stop worshiping idols. Honor my Sabbath. Return to me and I will return to you. Come on, please don't make me punish you. I don't want to do it. But Israel wouldn't listen. God sent prophets to them to try to give them the word. They worked miracles. People wouldn't listen. Would not hear them. So God had to enact his judgment. He brought other nations in. They conquered first Israel, then they conquered Judah. They took the people captive and sent them away. Put them in other lands. They took them out of their homeland. They were deemed not worthy at that time to have the promised land. Now, after a set amount of time, God brought them back. It was under Cyrus the Great who issued the edict for the worship of God that they can return back home. Now, before we move on, so if you look at the reasons why God gave, because again, these prophets were telling them, don't do this. You know, a lot of it was worshiping idols, but there's other parts to this too. In Jeremiah, we find, but if you will not heed me to hallow the Sabbath day, such as not carrying a burden when entering the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in its gates, and it shall not be quenched. In other words, I'm going to destroy Jerusalem. From Ezekiel, moreover, they have done this to me. They have defiled my sanctuary on the same day and profaned my Sabbaths. That's God's judgment. Keeping the Sabbath was part of it. That was part of his judgment. They weren't keeping the Sabbath. Again, greed. If I don't keep the Sabbath, I can work one more day and make more money. I can have more time to myself. That was their problem. Their heart was not there. It wasn't right. But again, I just want you to notice, you see them, they went through it all. Greed, selfishness, covetousness. You know, that person's not keeping the Sabbath. I mean, how many of us do that? I'm guilty of it. That person's not keeping the Sabbath. Why do I have to keep the Sabbath? You know, other idols. They had many other idols they were worshiping. Their God was not in a part of their lives. So, interestingly enough, the appointed time, because they was set to give the land its Sabbath. They had not given the land its Sabbath. They'd actually been farming it. So God set the appointed time to equal the amount, the number of Sabbaths that were missed. And then that's when he brought them back into their homeland. Now, you'd think that you've gone through all this as a people, you know this history, you'd think this would be the time that, okay, well, we've rebuilt the temple, sweet, we're worshiping God, we've rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, excellent, we're a Jewish nation again, so let's not make the mistakes of the past, let's do what God told us to do. No. Nope, because it comes back to our pride. Always comes back to our pride. Find in Nehemiah, in those days I saw people in Judah treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in grain and loaded it on donkeys together with wine, grapes, figs, and all other kinds of loads. And they were bringing all this into Jerusalem on the Sabbath. Therefore, I warned them against selling food on that day. people from Tyre who lived in Jerusalem were bringing in fish and all kinds of merchandise and selling them in Jerusalem on the Sabbath to the people of Judah. I rebuked the nobles of Judah and said to them, what is this wicked thing you are doing, desecrating the Sabbath day? Didn't your ancestors do the same thing so that our God brought all this calamity on us and on this city? Now you are stirring up more wrath against Israel by desecrating the Sabbath. So Nehemiah comes back. He's like, okay, everything's set. And what are you guys doing? He's literally asking him, do you not understand? It couldn't be more clear. This is why God destroyed us the first time. And now you're trying to get him to destroy us again. Poor Nehemiah, I really do feel for him. You know, I imagine whatever wall was there that he was in the room he was living in had many dents from his forehead in it. But it's our pride. It's the hard hearts that we have that prevents us to it. You know, and you look at America today. How many here are old enough or have studied history enough to remember when nothing was open on Sundays? Do you know why we did that? Because we were a Christian nation. And I don't want to go into this because it'd take much longer. If you don't believe it, look at the Declaration of Independence and look at the freedoms in the Constitution. Look at what the first leaders of this nation spoke. This is totally a Christian nation. But then we went through, and basically this was up until the 1960s. But what happened in the 50s? We won World War II. We came out of the Great Depression. Life is good. And that's the problem. When life is good, that's when people stop looking to God. And that's what happened. And Satan came in and whispered a lie to the people. He actually whispered several lies. And that's when, with the hippie movement, that was when new idols were brought in. Idols of drugs. Idols of alcohol. Idols of yourself. It's what you want to do. That's what matters. And that's the way this country has been running ever since. And people have turned from God. I can remember when 7-Eleven opened 7 days a week. That's amazing. Walmart, 7 days a week. Huh. And you see people, you know, don't get me, understand this. Church doesn't matter. Worshiping God is what matters. Right. Your relationship with God. That's what matters. People stop doing that. Well, I can't make it to church on Sunday because I'm working. Pick a day. Any day. But it became an excuse to turn from God. And again, I can make more money if I don't rest. Maybe I rest, but I just do what I want to do. It doesn't matter what God wants me to do. And so you see this turning in America away from God. We're doing the same thing Israel did. We're not following his commands. We're not obeying the Sabbath. We've got idols that we worship. The idols we worship today are television, sports. How many more can you name? Pretty much that Satan has given us anything but God, that people devote all their life, time, and energy to. And I do mean all their life, time, and energy to. So I implore you, please, if you're not keeping the Sabbath, please do. Please do. Now you might ask, well, what can I do on the Sabbath? So ask God. He created the law. He can interpret the law. And you know, it's odd that I think I remember somewhere, I don't know where it was, that he gave us someone who like is a counselor or interpreter, something like that, comforter. Someone who could tell us these things. But really, it's just ceasing from work and honoring God. That's the two parts to the covenant. You know, when Jesus, you know, the Pharisees made up all those additions to the law. So Jesus, when he came in this world, He came in to interpret the law for them. And again, he's the one who made it. So I would trust his interpretation of it. So let's look at some of the what Jesus did on the Sabbath while he was here. So the first one that we have is when his disciples are hungry and they're picking heads of grain. Now, according to the 39 editions, you couldn't pick anything and you couldn't pick anything up off the ground. If you're starving, you're not home. Sucks to be you. But again, it doesn't matter to the Pharisees. But basically, they're walking along. They're starving. They've been working. And they're just like, oh. If it was me, I'd be taking like a whole thing and just all at once. But, you know, part bear. But the Pharisees come to him and they're like, what are you doing? Your disciples are working on the Sabbath. This is unlawful for you to do this. But notice what Jesus says. If you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. He's Lord of it. He's the one who decides what is work and what is not. He's telling the Pharisees, I decide it, not you. And they are guiltless. And again, it's all about the heart. You have starving people here. And the Pharisees are telling them, don't eat, continue to starve. It's like, no, that's not love. And in Mark, same story, he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not mad for the man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. Because that's what the Pharisees were. We're like, no, you were made for the Sabbath. You will do what we tell you to do so that it makes us feel better. And Jesus said, no, other way around. Sabbath is for man because man was made for a day of rest. That's what we were created for. We'll get to that here in a little bit. Now, on another Sabbath day, there was a gentleman with a withered hand in the synagogue. And, of course, the Pharisees ask him, they're trying to trick him and trap him. They say, is it legal to heal someone on the Sabbath? And in Matthew, Jesus tells them, then he said to them, what man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value, then, is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And in Mark, in the same story, says, then he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they kept silent. So he's telling them, first off, you hypocrites. You actually do work on the Sabbath. If there's an animal in danger of yours, you go and save it. Yeah, here's a human being and you won't even help them. So what are you doing? You're actually doing evil on the Sabbath. Who created the Sabbath? It's God. God is good. So you're working against God. He was just putting them to shame. On another Sabbath day, Peter's mother-in-law was sick with a fever. Jesus came and he healed her. What did she do? She got up. She made them food and served them food. Notice Jesus never rebuked her for that. He didn't say, no, this is Sabbath. Don't do that. Take that spaghetti out of the pot, put it back in the package. Didn't happen. They ate, and you know what happened that evening? Tons of people came to their house, people who were sick. People who were injured, people who had demons. You know what Jesus did? Heal, 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 out, heal, out, out, heal, out, out, heal, 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 heal. All this on the Sabbath. Can you believe that someone would do that? It's like he's Lord of the Sabbath. So on another Sabbath day, and that's how a lot of these start on another Sabbath day, in another synagogue was a woman who was bent over with infirmity for 18 years. So can you imagine walking like this for 18 years? So So Jesus came up to her. They're in the synagogue. And Jesus comes up to her and he heals her. And she, for the first time in 18 years, stands up straight. And then, you know what she does next? She praises God. The Jewish leaders are upset with this. Now, this is your first question of why, if the Jewish leaders profess to be followers of God and worshiping, are they upset at someone praising God? That's the first, that should be like a red flag waving right in the air, right then and there. But, you know, you look at where their hearts is. It's all about them. Again, it's all about pride. So basically, when they see this, they address the crowd and said, there are 6 days to work. So she should go and come back on the Sabbath, then you can heal her then. Or, I'm sorry, come back on a day other than the Sabbath and heal her then. They missed the law completely. You did not understand God and love. But then Jesus said, the Lord then answered him and said, hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water? So ought not this woman be a daughter of Abraham who Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath? So he said 18 years. Think about it for a second. This is the daughter of Abraham. Why are you forsaking her? But they didn't get it because their pride's getting in the way. So another Sabbath day, Jesus went in the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees. And they, of course, they were all watching him, and a man with dropsy came in. Now this time, all these times Jesus is putting these Pharisees, the rulers of the synagogues, the rulers of the Jews, to shame on the Sabbath. So this time, they... But in their hearts, they're condemning him. They're condemning him. So Jesus heals the man with dropsy, and though they don't say a word, we find that in Luke, and Jesus answering spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Didn't they just ask him that question in another Sabbath day? Huh. But they kept silent, and he took him and healed him and let him go. Then he answered saying, which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? Again, they were more concerned about taking care of their animals than they were about taking care of their brothers and sisters. There's no love there. So you look at what, basically at the life of Jesus and what he did, and there's a list you can come up with. First, it's a day of rest. Oh, yeah, I guess I should. So, sorry, forgot about that part. So, what else did Jesus do? How many times does Scripture say Jesus went to the synagogue on the Sabbath to teach? How many days were they traveling here and there to go spread the gospel, to spread the good word of the kingdom? Tell people to repent. So they're doing kingdom work. So now to the list. And these are things we can see. First, if you're in doubt what to do, ask God. Second, you can heal. Third, you can actually eat despite what was said during those times. You can eat. Don't worry. You're fine. God's not going to smite you. Resting, that's half the covenant. Do good. Help those around you. Teach. Do kingdom work. You know, on the Sabbath, again, the Pharisees said that you can only go 3/4 mile from your home. But we see Jesus was traveling all around trying to tell people about the kingdom of heaven. So let's take a look at, well, why should we keep the Sabbath? In case any of you are wondering that. Well, the first part is there's blessing. Like, anytime you obey God, there's blessings that come with it. And not keeping it loses those blessings. You know, you have to remember that the Sabbath was created for man and not man for the Sabbath. When you tell God, You may have needed to rest, but I don't. That's a big middle finger right in his face. He's not going to like that. But let's look at a couple of these blessings here that God told Israel. The first one we find in Isaiah chapter 56. Says, thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this and the son of man who lays hold on it, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Do not let the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, oh, Lord, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. Nor let the eunuch say, here I am, a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuch who keeps my Sabbaths and chooses what pleases me and hold fast my covenant, even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also, the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. The Lord God who gathers the outcast of Israel says, yet I will gather to him. You notice what he says. Those of you who aren't a part of Israel, if you honor my Sabbaths and you do what is good, come on up. Come up to my house up on the holy mountain. Live within my walls. I will protect you. I will take care of you. You are mine. You know, to those and to the eunuchs who had said, well, I'm just a eunuch. I don't have a part of this. Same thing. If you honor my Sabbath, if you honor my word, I will honor you and bring you up. So then another one is we see in another part of Isaiah, in Isaiah 58, 13 through 14. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, when you shall delight yourself in the Lord. I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Do you see that? That's the second part of the commandment. Keep it holy. God's saying, if you don't do what you want to do on the Sabbath, but you honor me, I will honor you. I will ride you high. I will take care of you. I'll feed you. So another reason that we should do it is because like any of the other, because it is a part of the law. And with the law, anytime we break it, we are guilty of sin. We have sinned. And as we find in James chapter 2, verse 10, whoever breaks one commandment is guilty of breaking the whole law. You can't say, well, I'm not honoring the Sabbath, and that's fine. God's going to give me a pass because I keep the other nine. No. Sin is sin. And sin is death. So I got to tell you a quick story here. I'll try to keep it quick. So I'm not trying to brag. Please forgive me if it seems like I'm bragging, but God, I think, knew I was going to be working in the woods. So he made me a little tougher than most. A few decades ago, we found out my head has the same density as concrete. I fall down and bounce down the hills more than you could even count. Laura can testify that last year we found out my head has the same density as basalt. So yes, I'm very thick-headed. So, you know, it's just the way God's made me. And like I said, it has a purpose, I'm sure. But if you're wondering why I don't understand some things or why I'm the way I am, there's your answer. And through the years, we've even tried steel. It has the same density as steel. So it's amazing. But, you know, I go up and down the mountains all the time, here and there, trip and fall, and I never get injured. Last year, I went to preach down in Lincoln City, and I was taking Monday as my Sabbath day at the time. And for work, I normally get Mondays off. And I was planning to do something with a friend of mine, and I was going to switch Monday for Friday. Well, they had let me know during the church service that they were busy on Friday and they weren't going to be able to get together. So I thought, okay, well, that's cool. I can work around the house on Friday. That's good. And I'll never forget this. It was this little voice that said, so you're going to work all week. And I was like, yeah. I knew God's voice. I was stupid. Again, the kid. And I heard this. Interesting. So the youth, we were doing, on that Sunday, we were doing a softball game out here at the middle school. And they had already started. I came in late. So I came there and I stepped right up, grabbed the bat, took a swing, hit the ball. My very first step, I pull my quad. Very first step. So I wasn't running anymore. I pitched the rest of the game. I went home after the game. I watched a sermon. Can you guess what the sermon was on? Yes, keeping the Sabbath. And I was like, okay, Lord, I get it. I understand. I do. I ask for forgiveness. I repented. I made sure to keep Sabbath. I always made sure I had a day of rest. That's the way the Lord works. If you don't do what he tells you, there's consequences for sin. If you don't take rest, he will make you rest. That's what he did for me, because I had to take it easy with that pulled quad for a week and a half. That was not fun. The second part to this story, which actually goes with the second part of the commandment, is I was really struggling with the Sabbath. I was, because I have a lot of work to do. You know, there's work, there's house, there's a dog. If anyone wants a dog, let me know. No, I'm just kidding about that part. There's, you know, life group, there's sermons, there's all this kind of stuff. And so I was trying to find a new Sabbath day. And it basically fell on Saturday. But God was telling me, do not do your life group prep on Saturday. Like, God, why? I was doing this beforehand. So I worked and I worked and I worked. Many months went by. And it was very frustrating, because you're just like, I have no time, and you're just dying, dying, dying. And then God finally said, okay, now you can go ahead and do your work, your life group prep on Saturday. And I said, Lord, why? I don't understand this. Why? What has changed? But thank you, by the way. Thank you. Don't get me wrong. Thank you. He said, because your heart was not in the right place. When you were first doing this, you always came to me. We sat down, we talked, we had time together. But then you got to the point where you were seeing this as work, and you lost your perspective. Work is not allowed on the Sabbath. But now you're coming back around where you are seeking me again, where you want to sit down and have time with me, where you want to learn my word and my ways. And that's what that's about. That's not work. We're spending time together. You're learning me about me. I have thanked him for that. That's the part of keeping it holy. You know, Jesus, he did kingdom work, because in his heart, I see what he was doing, trying to honor God. And that's where this came from. And the next reason is because it's a witness between us and those who don't believe. You know, we've talked about this before. God will bless those who, you know, who honor him. As he said, I will honor those who honor me. So if you can imagine, like, going back, let's say to World War II or even before then, how did other nations view the United States? They're like, wow, that's a super powerful nation. You know, when we defeated Japan, they're like, we want to be like you. But they didn't understand that what made us great was our seeking God. And the fact that we honored the Sabbath at that time. America did not work on Sundays. But that's the kind of witness. And it goes with any of God's commandments. If you're honoring him, he'll honor you. And people will see that. And they may not understand it. Another reason is because it's a time. Next slide. It's a time to catch our breath. If you think about it, in 6 days, God was, let the earth bring forth plants. Let there be light. You know, bring come dust, bring forth animals. He's speaking the whole time. The seventh day, he finally went. He was able to breathe in for once. We go through that same thing. When we're running around in our weekly little lives, we're exactly. But we're not made for that. We're made for it for a little while, but not all the time. That's not how God made us. You know, what's the easiest way to catch your breath? Exhaling or inhaling? It's inhaling. That's what the point is. You know, and when you do it, when you inhale on the Sabbath, I highly recommend two things to inhale. Two things to inhale. And you're like, Matt, this is a really weird message. You're going really interesting places. But first thing is this. This is what you breathe in. That right here. The other thing, if that doesn't work for you, for whatever reason, I don't know, but go out in the woods. Go out somewhere. Look at what God created. You know, everything is a testimony to him. Breathe in his wonder and majesty. Whether it's the mountains, the trees, the ocean, sure, okay. Whatever. Each has their own. You know, but whatever it is, just breathe it in. Take it in. Breathe in his majesty. And give praise to God. Another reason is restoration and rejuvenation. Now, there's physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. We get physical rest. We get physical rejuvenation, restoration by resting. We stop moving. Our body can take a break. You know, your stomach, you sleep at night, it stops digesting. Next day, it's ready to go. How do you heal from sickness? You got the flu, what do? Stay in bed. So remember, stay in bed next time. Mentally, take your mind off of everything. Your problems at work, problems that are going on, all that kind of stuff. Emotionally, you sit down with God. You're like, God, here's my problems. And God just helps you deal with them. And then spiritually, you can only get spiritual restoration, rejuvenation by spending time with God. That's it. And the more time you spend with God, the easier it is to resist the enemy. I know we've all been through this. When do you hear the enemy the strongest? Or when do you feel the most tempted to do something? When you're stressed and when you're tired. For those of us who don't get sleep, I can testify to that. And the Sabbath is a time for good, deep cleaning and unloading. So basically, Lord, is there any unforgiven sin I haven't confessed? Listen to what he says. Next one. There you go. So You know, the whole point of unloading, like Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Again, the thing is sometimes we come to Jesus with this and we're like, here's my burden. Are you going to pick that up? Okay, well, I guess I'll take it this week. But we're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to leave it there. I know a lot of you are dealing with burdens that need to be left at the feet of Jesus. Sabbath is a day for that. The Sabbath, if you think about it, in our normal week, we go around, we see things, we hear things that trouble us, that break our peace with God. We pick up burdens that we shouldn't be picking up. Sabbath is a day to leave those behind, to get rid of them all. So I know that if there's any of you here today who are having trouble accepting the Sabbath, because I do know there's some people who cannot stop. I'll be up front. Please come talk to me. Or if you're unable to break the chains of the lies of the enemy of, well, money is more important, you just need to keep working, or rest won't do you any good, come talk to me. Because I guarantee you that if you don't take a day of rest, it will kill you quickly. Or if you don't know who Jesus is, if he is not the Lord of your Sabbath, he's not the Lord of your life, then I beg you, please come talk to me. So I'll be standing up here up front while the worship team comes up and play. Thank you. Again, please.
Oh.
to know the power of your risen life and to know you in your sufferings to become like you in your death, my Lord, so with you.
Well, thank you, everybody. There is food in back if you'd like to join us for potluck. When I say us, I mean everybody else. Mike, would you please bless the food?
Heavenly Father, we just ask you to bless our time together as we break bread together, fellowship, and we thank you for all the good things you've given
us. Yes. Yes.
Bless our time together. Bless our day. May we take last message.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Mike. And may the Lord be with you this week, all of you, and bless you and walk before you, behind you, and all around you.
Amen.
And guide and number your steps. Yeah. Amen. Chris.
The Lord bless thee, and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance, on thee and give thee peace.
Have a great day, guys. God bless. Down.